You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
It's your boy Tom here, and we are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast. Ooh, fellas, it's been a long day without you, my friends. I tell you all about it when I see you again. Welcome back to the podcast. Feels like it's been a year.
Wow. Has it been a year?
It feels like it. I mean, can you tell us peasants what it's like traveling the world and missing the podcast for 2 weeks?
That is a great question, Tom.
Well, I think we can, but I think the good thing is we had a full excuse why traveling the world versus your excuse when you're at home and you just don't get on the podcast time.
Well yeah, because peasants just don't show up. You know, when rich people get to go travel the world and have good excuses. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So I mean, what's up, y'all? Did you forget how to talk while y'all been gone?
No. I'm you're talking to Gary, right? Because he's the rich one. We're the peasant.
because not sure that's how it is.
We've all seen that marble floor you're getting put into your house. Don't even try to talk to us about being
getting put in. It's already put in.
Oh, exactly.
First of all, they're not marble floors. They're fake. They're fake marble floors. It just gives you the illusion that they're marble floors because I didn't want to pay that price tag for those. So I like to think that I was responsible there because you know, I needed the look, but not the price.
Okay.
He's lying. I'm calling him out.
I knew he was, but you know, I was gonna let him lie to the podcast if he wanted to.
Man, look, I gotta say this, man. And I didn't want to kick the podcast off like this, but I have to kick the podcast off like this. And I'm not bringing up anybody else. I just want to stick with this situation and this situation only, Gary. Orthol. The juice, God rest his soul, was a hell of a running back, man. Now, if I'm getting in trouble for saying or for stating facts, then what type of world are we living in, Gary? He was a hell of a running back. Like, I mean, in addition to other things that he's done in his life, we're not stopping there. But do you not believe that in this world, when the world is so critical of how it judges you, that you should be held to just that, even in your passing and death, Gary?
Well, I think it comes to that same question we've had multiple times where we brought up separating the person from who they are, like what they've done and separating the two. Like we've talked about with Michael Jackson's music, R. Kelly's music. Now, if you want to talk about OJ, he was a great running back, Hall of Famer. There's a reason for it. He was really good. He could still be that. And still been a terrible person. Like it doesn't mean you can't respect that he was a good athlete or good player and a Hall of Fame player. And I think the fact that people get mad that the Hall of Fame did a half mast flag because of his passing, it's just dumb. It's the terrible situation culture we're in right now, where everybody has to be mad about something. And this
Gary,
literally
you okay.
No, it's the same argument we've had about other things, how people are like, oh, I'll never listen to Michael Jackson or R. Kelly music again. I listen to that music daily. I don't care about who they were as a person. Their music is really good. I never watched OJ play football, but he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. You can't take that away from him. He may have been a terrible person, but didn't affect what he still was previously. His job.
Hold on, I gotta step in real quick as a Michael Jackson fan and say, he has never been found guilty of anything.
And neither was OJ.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. Now, we got to understand that OJ was never found guilty of anything other than the merchandise situation. And I feel like that was
payback.
It was payback. That's how they end up getting him. But he was never found guilty. So these are still all accusations as it relates to whether he did it or not, because the facts are of the case. The facts of the case is he was found not guilty.
Right. And it just shows that, again, even back then, you were still guilty, and even if you're proven innocent.
And there's people that wasn't even, like, alive back then that don't like OJ because of what they've been told about him.
Yeah.
But they never been told, like, why was he famous in the first place?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people know him from movies. They don't even know him from football.
Yeah. I can attest to that, because my kids, when they see The Rock, they think Jumanji. They don't think The Rock the wrestler.
So true. Right. But again, it's the same thing. It's like, you should be able to separate the two. And if you can't, because I actually had this conversation, one of my buddies, we had this exact conversation. He's like, yeah, I can't separate the two. I don't understand how you can't. Like,
what?
Yeah. They said they would never listen to R. Kelly music again. I'm like, what? That just makes no sense.
Oh, that.
I don't understand it. But hey,
I mean, can you at least agree? Like, you know, now when you hear "There Ain't Nothing Wrong with a Little Bump and Grind," you know that ain't gonna hit the same.
It's still gonna hit the same. It don't matter for me. I don't care about any of the stuff he did. He might be a terrible person. That music is good.
He said, "I don't care about it. It's gonna hit the same."
If that music's playing and you're alone with your significant other, you're not thinking about that. You're only thinking about making that body bump and grind.
Oh, I know you.
That's all you're thinking about.
Your body is a porta potty.
That's not the lyrics.
Oh, that's Dave Chappelle. Hold on. My fault.
So, I don't even want to get into it. I'm just going to let it bypass. Go ahead.
Well, no, what, you know, because this is all originated, because I text our group chat, you know, when OJ died, because I was telling y'all that on Twitter there was a big, you know, ordeal. Can you say RIP to someone like OJ Simpson? And especially, you know, because one of the trending hashtags was RIP legend. And so people were all getting on there, how are you saying RIP legend to somebody like OJ Simpson, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I asked you guys, can you give somebody like OJ his flowers, given his history? And
seems like, well, it's funny because some of these questions, we've dabbled in these conversations on the podcast before, like with the whole aspect of, if somebody was a terrible person in life, can you send flowers? Can you go to their, can you not be looked down upon for going to their funeral? Like, it's the same aspect with this. Like, should people be shamed that they went to OJ's funeral? No. Like, they may know a different type of OJ. They may know OJ from way back then. It's still, you can still honor somebody, the good parts of somebody, even if they were terrible.
Look at you, Gary.
But again, in today's society, I guess you're not allowed to do any of that.
But here's the thing that I double what I'm gonna ask, Gary. So I've been in this position before where I've had someone that I've known to me to be a good person, but to the person that passed, he wasn't such a good person. That's, it kind of led to why he passed. And I couldn't go to the funeral. And the reason why I couldn't go to the funeral is because of the situation in which, how he passed, because it wouldn't have been a good look. And I thought about it like after, and I felt bad because like the difference between people is the relationships that they have with the people that they have. And your relationship with that person may be different from, there's a lot of your friends that you have, Gary, that I don't like. And that's all your friends because they all try to take my spot. But I'm cool. there's a few of your friends, Tom, that I don't like, which is cool, but that does not make them your friends because I don't like them. But now, I've had this conversation with people before where I've asked the question, Gary, and this may help you with this too. Do you judge people based on how they treat you or how they treat other people? Because if you base it on how they treat you, then you should have been at that funeral. If you base it on how they treat other people, then you don't show up. So it just, I battle with that constantly.
Well, I think it goes to how they treat you and the people close to you. Because if they treat you good and everybody that's close to you, they treat them like crap, you're gonna have a little bit of ill will or negative feelings towards, because they were treating the ones that are close to you that you care about in a negative way, even if they treated you amazing. Because again, they could treat you depending on who you are because of who you are. Like you, D'Angelo, could be treated a certain way by somebody because you are D'Angelo. Like, and they could treat other people terrible, but they don't want to get on your bad side because of who you are. They may think, oh, I could use you in some way, or I can use that clout, which is terrible because people shouldn't. But if that was the case and they were treating all your close friends or close family terrible, that would tell you already about them. If they were only treating you good, they're probably treating you a certain way so they can get something out of you. If they're treating everybody you're close to in a different way.
I mean, y'all probably deal with that a lot more 7-8 years ago. Y'all are has-beens now, so you probably don't have to worry.
Nobody
about
knows
much.
About us anymore. We started this podcast 2 years too late.
Yeah, right. Well, you had the Amazing Race run, so now everybody knows you from that. So
exactly.
can we have this conversation real quick? And I'm gonna make it quick.
Because I want to hear Time's response, because he was about to respond about that real quick.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm kind of on board with y'all. I think that you should be able to, acknowledge that somebody was good at something and separate it. I can understand if you don't want to, like your friend, whoever it was, Gary, that said they didn't want to listen to R. Kelly's music anymore. I think that's fine. I think if that's a decision they want to make, I can understand how someone can't separate it, but as far as like somebody passing, I think it's fine for people to, say RIP, and at that point their soul's gone. And does it depend on what they did? Like, would you have said RIP to Hitler?
I mean, everybody said RIP to Pablo Escobar, and I don't think he was a nice person at all. Like, if you look at any of the kingpin drug lords that get the notoriety that they get, people, you see what I'm saying?
So I would say
do you think that's all relative, though, based on what side of the box you're on? Because
that's what I was going to say. I would say Germans back then probably said RIP Hitler because they were on his side. I think it depends on your perspective. That, like you always say, it's the perspective that you're on. Are you benefiting from this person?
Yes.
Is that so? You're going to obviously, like you said, Pablo Escobar. There was a lot of people benefiting Pablo Escobar who probably like RIP. People that weren't benefiting weren't saying RIP.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I think it's all relative to your experience with that person. So, did you see that his family had to sign NDAs before they went in there?
Yeah.
You didn't see that, D?
But they said nothing was said. Now, again, who knows if he said something or not, but.
Right. He made his whole family sign NDAs before they came to see him before he passed. Like, the speculation was he was finally admitting to them that he did something, or I don't know. There was rumors circulating as to why they had to do that, but that was the.
Oh, that's
the funny. Juiciness. Well, I think we can move on from that. Was there somewhere you were about to take us right before Gary stopped you, D?
So I can't even remember what it was.
I knew that was going to be the case.
Well, while you think about it, can I get y'all's take on WrestleMania since that happened while you were gone?
Oh, I got it. I got it back. I got it back.
Of course.
I know this is going to piss Gary off, and I don't care. I want to keep it short and sweet, though. I want to keep it short and sweet because I don't want Gary to get us canceled. Okay, so we're going to
have promises.
We're going to have this Caitlin Clark conversation, Gary, because I think it needs to be had.
I had this conversation recently, too.
She goes number one overall to the Fever, Indiana Fever. Jersey immediately sells out in like every size you can imagine and whatever her number is. Do you make this move, Gary, or do you really try to investigate the big three and the $5 million that was offered to you there? Do you take that money, or do you say, hey, the WNBA is the right move? I'm going to go to the WNBA and I'm going to try to make it, or I'll make that money back through advertisements and endorsements. Because, Gary, I'm telling you right now, brother, I'm going to watch the WNBA this year, and I'm not watching the WNBA because I like the WNBA. I'm watching the WNBA because I like Caitlin Clark.
I'm going to say you don't watch the WNBA. You see the highlights, and you're like, no, I'm good, and you end up not watching it.
That's also an option. I'm just saying that I'm
being real. That's exactly. I know how you are. You may see the highlight, but you ain't gonna sit down and watch a game. I know better. You don't even sit down and watch NBA games unless it's Memphis. So the chances of you sitting down and watching a WNBA game aren't very high.
But I like Caitlin Clark, man, because I think
not like you like Memphis.
True. I think she's a special athlete, Gary. And there's not a lot of people like her. I'm going to go on the limb, and I'm going to say this, Gary, and just hear me out before y'all jump down my throat, okay? Because I got some legitimacy behind it. I think Caitlin Clark is the greatest basketball player of all time, men and women, in college sports. From a basketball standpoint, she is the Tim Tebow of basketball. And I'm saying this because
you're crazy.
She's a needle mover. Not only is she a needle mover, people come to see her. She sells out stadiums. There's a lot of things that's associated with her that a lot of people haven't done. I'm going to tell you something else, and I want to make sure that I make this very known. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time. He never, ever, ever will get the credit for being one of the best player of all time. He'll never be in that argument. He'll never be in that conversation. However, if Caitlin Clark is the female version of him, and you said the things that she does on the court are amazing, and you give her that tag, then why don't we give that same tag to Steph Curry? That's all I'm saying. With that being said, I'm not contradicting myself. I still think that she's one of the greatest basketball players of all time, both men and women, because of the needle mover she moves.
No.
She was bigger than Michael Jordan. She was bigger than Michael Jordan in college than when Michael Jordan was in college.
No.
Okay. All right.
So, all right. I had this conversation about this.
I don't understand why you don't like women's sports.
Again, stop saying things that you don't like women's sports. And now you're just trying to throw it on everybody else. It has nothing to do with women's sports. So the whole thing is you're talking about moving the needle. The problem with men's basketball at NCAA, moving the needle. Carmelo Anthony moved the needle his 1 year at Syracuse. The problem is these players, before they get a chance to move the needle, they go to the NBA and move the needle. It's much different because you're never going to see a player like, and this, I had this conversation with somebody. They're like, oh, nobody will ever pass Caitlin Clark for points in a season. No man or woman. I said, yeah, I agree. No man definitely won't, because they'll be in the NBA after season one. They're not going to go through 4 years of college. So they're not going to see that ability to pass that, because they're going to go to the NBA. They're not going to sit. They're not going to sit in college. It's a whole different avenue. So the problem is you can't compare the two. They have to be said. If you want to say she's the best female basketball player in college, okay. But all around, I don't think you can, because you don't get to see those star players usually play 4 years of college basketball, because they're one and dones. Or at the most, you might get 2 years out of those guys because they're ready to go to the NBA. And beforehand, you weren't even seeing those guys in the NBA. You saw LeBron never got to play college because they made the rule. KG, Kobe, never we saw them in college. Would they have truly moved the needle in college? 1,000%. They would have dominated. But they never got that opportunity because they didn't have the rule. So that's the thing, is that you can say she moved the needle in like women's basketball. You can say she's been the best. I know there's a lot of other women out there that would say they were better.
Gary,
and everybody made
name one, Gary. Just because you scored more points.
Gina Taurasi. She would say she was better. The girl that was just drafted 2 or 3 years ago from UConn, that girl was dominant at UConn.
Breonna Stewart.
Yes, Breonna Stewart was dominant. She was won three championships with her.
Yeah,
four championships.
Did Caitlin Clark win a championship?
Three.
No,
they won four with her.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark didn't win one.
How many championships did Jordan win in college?
I think one. And he hit the shots to win it, by the way. He actually won it. Like, this brings the same argument of, like, the people they were already having about Caitlin Clark. Can she be considered the greatest without ever winning a title in college? She never won a title.
Well, and, you know, to that, I think it's relative, because, you know, UConn, you brought up the UConn team, they're a powerhouse.
Correct.
So, obviously, a UConn team is going to be more equipped to make that kind of run. If you ask Caitlin Clark, are you going to look back and, you know, if she would have won, would it have been completely different? I think most people you ask that would agree that, you know, she didn't win a national championship. That's going to hurt her resume. But what I think kind of what D is going at is no other woman brought this much interest to women's basketball.
I don't disagree with that at all.
And this many eyes on the women's game, so much so that, you know, Dawn Staley, after their game, is praising Caitlin Clark from the podium, saying, you know, we wouldn't be where we are without Caitlin Clark. And, you know, selling out arenas, the highest ever rated game, like three games in a row, they kept breaking the record for highest most watched game. So in that respect, I think she probably is the best of all time. I think, you know, it's kind of one of those nuances. Are you talking about the best actual player of all time and accomplishments, or are you talking about someone that had the most impact for the women's game? Because I just think that's undeniable. No one even got close to touching what she's done.
Yeah, but Tim Tebow of basketball.
No, I disagree. Because again, you never get to see the potential of the guys because they leave after a year. So you're never going to get you're going to get that year hype, and that's all you're going to get.
No, Gary,
like the year Carmelo, I don't know if Carmelo won or if they lost in the championship. I don't remember. I think they won.
I think they won, yeah.
Yeah. He only played his freshman year. He was the NCAA that year because he was the only player that was on that team that was really good.
I think you can look at it like this. I mean, let's call it what it is. The needle for women's basketball had a lot more room to be moved.
That is a fact. it's hard to say for the men's because, like, the men's are so many – and there's so many other players that have moved it before, and it's always moving up and down. Like, this year's NCAA men's game, nobody was super excited. It was pretty evident who was going to win. And UConn, they dominated everybody. I think that was pretty evident when they started. So I think I don't think there wasn't any interest in it. Plus, the teams that have the best players, they don't win because they don't go, they're not cohesive, and they're always one and done team players on the team, so they don't ever work together, and then they're gone. So that's what happens when the coaches leave, like Kentucky. Kentucky is known for their players being one and done, and that's why Calipari eventually leaving, because it's they weren't winning. I do want to make one comment, though. Everybody was making, which is amazing, that she passed the Pete Maravich's points scored in a career or whatever. The thing that people forget is Pete Maravich only played 3 years, not four. He averaged 44 points a game in 3 years. Like, it's crazy because, it's all the perception on how you twist the stats and stuff. People do it all the time. You see stuff all the time. Oh, like I just literally saw one for Carolina Panthers. Jerry Jeudy in his first 4 years was averaged more yards than Steve Smith in his first 4 years. Yes, if you want to do that, Steve didn't play the first year. He didn't play receiver. Like, yeah, you can manipulate the stats any way you want to make it sound the way you want it to be, but the facts are the truth. And that you can't deny facts, like you said at the beginning. You can't deny a fact.
Oh, you can try.
Yeah, you can try, but this makes you dumb because the facts is proven.
Well, I mean, I think I tend to agree with D on this one. But like I said, I think there's a lot of factors that go into it. The needle had a lot more room for moving, and so that's probably why it felt, you know, we felt the impact so much more than, you know, say something like Jimmer Fredette whenever he was going wild, or
Steph,
you know,
Curry at Davidson.
Yeah, but even then Steph didn't really come around until NCAA
tournament.
Like, she had a whole season of selling out arenas, so I think it's undeniable about her impact.
Do you think she does the same type of stuff in the WNBA?
Yes, 100%.
I do think it's going to be interesting to see because I think it's already – just from comments, you can see a lot of the women in the WNBA are already upset that they're basically crowning her the best player in WNBA. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. It will make it where people are interested in watching a little bit. But if she comes out and fails, it's really going to hurt the sport.
Gary, I'm going to tell you something. There's no way she's going to fail, Gary. Because this is what I've learned about the WNBA, the NBA, and college basketball. They play way harder in college than they do in the pros. If you go to an NBA game, you're just like, what's going on here? They don't, it look like they're jogging. You're like, what? Because they play 82 games. When you go to the WNBA, it's no different than when you the NBA players in those 82 games, they play the same way. So it's not like the level of competition gonna change, Gary, because guess what? The LSUs now, all these players that you played in college, the UConns, the Arizonas, all these players are now in the WNBA. The talent didn't just automatically it didn't get better. The same talent that she's been playing against, same person that's been chasing her around at LSU gonna be chasing her around when she had the fever. So yes, she's gonna be still doing the same thing because she's going against the same players.
Also, to answer your question you asked at the very beginning, should she have went to the WNBA or Big Three? I think she should have negotiated and said, hey, I'm gonna do both, because Big Three, you're only playing like 8 games. That's all they wanted her for. That's all they wanted was her to play
for
8 games.
$5 million. Mm-hmm.
But the problem, I think, which is, I don't know if it's smart or whatever, but if she would have went to the Big Three, if it was playing, I think she would have got exposed.
What, Gary?
For one, she's going to be playing with a men's basketball, and she's going against former NBA players.
You saying that she wouldn't bust their ass, Gary?
No, no chance. And she's playing against former NBA players. It's not just scrubs that just showed up. It's former NBA players. So, like, yes, imagine, like, she's 6'1", 155. Like, that's not going to do anything to a 6'3", 200-pound point guard. Like what are you going to do?
Like, yeah, I mean,
I think that it would have been a detriment to women's basketball. She goes to the big three and gets embarrassed because now you can't have that conversation anymore. Now if she goes out there and does well, then you could have that conversation. But the only thing she's going to be able to do is shoot.
So, Gary, I'm going to tell you something. I would agree with you if her game wasn't shooting.
Oh, I agree.
But because her game is shooting is the only reason why I'm giving her a chance against anybody.
But my question is,
she doesn't go in and bang Gary. I mean, she doesn't bag people down.
Yeah.
She doesn't play big boy ball. She is just a shooter, Gary.
Yes, but okay.
And if you're a shooter, you can make it.
So you think if J.R. Smith gets in her face and is walking down the court with her, she's going to create separation to get a shot up? No, he's going to be on her the whole time. Like, what is she going to do?
Okay.
Like, if she can't create separation, she can't back down, she can't run by him.
I don't know if you guys watched any of the games, but she did have some trouble with creating space with, you know, even the good defenders from, like, Connecticut and South Carolina. So, yes, the defense that she would play from a more athletic male is probably going to be tough.
Not a knock on her. It's just physics.
It's just nature.
That's his biology.
Yeah. But you know, we can't be careful, Gary. We can't have those kind of discussions. But since D finally remembered his question, I want to get back to the question I asked before he remembered his question and he forgot. What did y'all think about WrestleMania? Were you happy with how it finished up? The story was finished. Bullshit. Anyways, give me your takes on it, what you thought, and where you think the WWE is moving forward.
You want to go first or you want me to go first, D?
You go ahead and go first, Gary.
Like I said, predictable in the aspect that Cody was going to win. I think everybody knew that, so it wasn't a surprise. I will say I think they did a good job of creating moments that were callbacks to previous things in the aspect of sorry, we don't have a Yeti sponsor, so don't be giving them pub right now because they're not a sponsor for us. If they want to be a sponsor, then you can do that.
That's on the bottom of the thing.
Yeah.
See the bottom.
No. But I like the callbacks of Roman hitting or getting payback on Seth for hitting him with the chair. Well, Seth hit Roman way back when to break up the Shield. So that's a callback to the past. Right. You have the Cena and Rock are face. That's a throwback to the past match. Then you have the Undertaker versus Rock. That's a throwback to a past. So, and then you have all the wrestlers lifting up Cody Rhodes. That's a throwback to a past event that happened. So, like, they did a good job of reminiscing in the aspect. Obviously, where they dropped the ball was Stone not being Stone Cold versus The Rock versus Undertaker. Stone Cold and The Rock had a bigger feud. What obviously, I know they had issues because of money. Stone Cold wanted more money, but to me, that if the glass would have shattered, it would have been so much bigger of a pop. It was still a big pop with The Undertaker, but if that glass would have shattered with The Rock, because that was the biggest feud back in the day, was those two. And that would have been a whole other level. And they still got it with Undertaker, but not to what it would have been if it was Stone Cold. But it was predictable. I'm interested. I don't know how they're going to go about it. Obviously, it looks like they're going to create a second bloodline, or I don't really know where they're going with the bloodline stuff now. Because I don't think they should bring the brothers back together. I think that feud's not over, but they're going to somehow probably bring it back together. I don't know. It's to me, it's getting out of hand now because Roman's going to step away and Rock's out now. So I don't know what they're going to do. I know Time loves the bloodline. I don't know what he thinks about now while it's came at the end. But overall, WrestleMania was just
So I have come to watch WrestleMania like I watch the Royal Rumble. I watch them because I'm always excited to see what people from the past is going to come back, either from injury or from retirement or just to do like some promos or such. I feel like they didn't bring enough people back. We knew that The Rock was going to wrestle. We knew that that Bloodline, we knew Seth was going to wrestle. I understand the callbacks. I get all that. But if you look at this, all they gave us was the Undertaker gear.
Yeah, that's all they gave. True.
They gave us the Undertaker.
That's well, it. Cena.
And Cena. They gave us the Undertaker and Cena. Those were the two that they gave us. Everybody else was booked to be on the show. I honestly feel like they missed an opportunity to bring back, like, if they were going to sign MJF. Like, this would have been a great time to bring him back and feud with somebody that just took the championship belt. I really think they did a good job during WrestleMania and putting the championship strap on Damian Priest.
I agree.
That was a smart move because they're going to be the new Bloodline gear, whether you believe it or not, like the Dark Order, Gangrel. What was that group called?
The Brood.
The Brood, Gary. That's the modern day Brood, Gary. Come to love them, because I think they're going to try to put straps on all of them so they can be like the new Bloodline.
Sort of like the system.
Trust in the system, Gary.
Yeah. Shout out, Moose.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Well, so I think the tag team championship match was way better than the championship match from night two, which happened on Sunday, because they relied more so not on their wrestling skills, but on the nostalgia of John Cena and The Undertaker. And the fact that we all knew that
there are ghosts behind you.
That's what I was looking at. I'm, you know, I know that there's some skeptical people on here. So see what I did there.
Hey, Skeptic is not a sponsor of this podcast, so do not promote them.
True. But they relied more so on the callbacks than like the legendary like fights that we've seen in the past. Like you're sitting there just waiting on like, oh, who do you think's gonna run out? That's what you're thinking about, like not thinking, oh, this is a good match. I think they gave us that in the tag match, even though Rock didn't have the bounce that he used to have. I understand his age, but he still looked like he's the old Rock from the past.
Oh, I'll give him credit. I like the final boss gimmick he was going with. I thought that was great. I did hear rumors that they're going to pivot away from Roman versus Rock, so that won't be another match. But I don't know why. To me, why wouldn't you just save that for next year's WrestleMania so you can have it as a match? So Roman can take a break for a while. Rock, obviously, go film his movies, come back for next year's WrestleMania, and you can let the minor bloodline do whatever they need to do. And build a story around it. To me, that's still a match people want to see. And obviously, The Rock would probably lose that, get put over Roman, but still, it's predictable in the aspect. But
I think it's stupid that Roman Reigns coughed up his title to Cody Rhodes, but that's just my opinion. I'm gonna let Tom give us his opinion on what he thought of WrestleMania, and I'll tell you why it was stupid on them putting the strap on Cody Rhodes and taking it from Roman Reigns.
Oh, you already know. I thought it was stupid. Overall, I thought it was pretty. I thought it was good. I liked, like y'all said, the nostalgia of it. I don't know if y'all noticed, or if I didn't notice necessarily in the moment, but I saw the clip that WWE put up where The Rock and Cena did like the exact same stare down that they did at WrestleMania, where, you know, Cena looks left first while The Rock's looking, you know, to his left, and then they both switch and look the other way. I was like, okay, I see what y'all did.
Yeah,
I think people were disappointed that it wasn't Stone Cold. That just makes more sense. You know, and the money thing's coming out. But, you know, I listen to a podcast that Eric Bischoff does. I don't listen to it. I watch some clips on YouTube sometimes. And, you know, he says, whatever's coming out, WWE wants out. So that doesn't necessarily mean that's actually
Even if it was, you pay him what he wants for that moment.
Right. That's what he was saying. He was like, okay, if that is the case, then you did drop the ball because you just pay. You pay. You've set up all this, you know, foreshadowing where they had the truck with Cena and Stone Cold on it in the background. It just makes too much sense. So if y'all let money get in the way, especially whenever you recently emerged and become TKO, whatever, money should not be what keeps that moment from happening. Does right. everybody love Undertaker? Yes. But
he didn't have the feud with The Rock that Stone Cold did.
Right. And the Attitude Era. And, you know, that was a perfect moment for Stone Cold Rock. And if they let money be the reason it didn't happen, then that's pretty silly. I would like to say we did call the Damian Priest coming in and stealing somebody's story. Unfortunately, it wasn't Cody Rhodes, but it was, you know, Drew McIntyre. Unfortunately, that fell to that. But we did say we saw something like that coming. I do think Judgment Day could go on a little run. I think it's hurt a little bit now that Ripley got hurt. Yep. Yeah, Rhea's hurt apparently.
Oh, yes.
But we'll see. We'll see, because, you know, the thing about that is like right now Finn is kind of like a overshadowed character. And I feel like, you know, at one point he was one of the biggest stars with the Demon, you know? So
Demon's the best, but he doesn't bring it out enough, which I can understand because it's a whole different moveset, whole different style of wrestling for him. And that's a whole different gimmick, like getting all that paint on his whole body. That's got to be a whole nother aspect.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, to me, I liked it. I thought it was cool.
I will say,
I wanted Roman to win.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
I was surprised that Sami Zayn got the victory, but I had an inkling at some point eventually he's going to have to drop the title because it's time for Gunther to get world heavyweight title shots. Like,
right?
He's proven he's ready for the next stage of being the world heavyweight champion. Well, now, who do you feud him with? Do you feud him with Damian Priest and you make him a face, or you feud him against Cody Rhodes? Obviously, it won't be right away. But I think it's time for Gunther to start getting a shot at the world title because he is going to be a future world champion.
Yeah, I see that.
So, but I like that Sami Zayn got the title. I did like that. That was a big surprise. Shocked. Yeah.
Yeah. For someone who likes to say they're never surprised, Gary, you know.
I know. That was good. I like that aspect because it very rarely happens with WWE nowadays.
Kind of still on wrestling. Did you guys see the backstage video from CM Punk? And if so, what did you think about it?
I think it's all stupid. I think both, like CM Punk talking about it's dumb. AEW releasing is dumb. I understand why AEW released it because it matched some of what CM Punk said, but not exactly. And it also shows that CM Punk was the aggressor. And it shows the reason why he was fired. So I think it makes sense to a point, but neither one of them need to air that issue. It's whatever. It's over. You're different programs now. Who cares? Get past it. Get over it.
So I like the fact that they released the film because it showed us exactly what CM Punk said happened to a certain degree. It's that effect of when you see it versus what somebody say, you're like, okay, so that's what you were talking about. I think that AEW had to address it because when we talk about needle movers, there's not a bigger needle mover in the wrestling industry that's bigger than CM Punk. So
you that's a little hyperbole there.
Huh?
That's a little hyperbole. Maybe the biggest needle mover in Chicago, but that's about it. The People's Champ is the biggest needle mover. We just saw that. We just seen that. Come on, man. All right, I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you keep. I just don't want you to water down your Caitlin Clark argument by giving a bad example of CM Punk.
No, all I'm saying is the biggest pop in sports history happened when he came back.
You think, I don't know, maybe that Daniel Bryan win.
I don't know when it was a complete surprise that the Hardy Boys show up at WrestleMania. That was a huge pop. The thing is, there's just so many huge pops because, like, you have Shawn Michaels returning after 4 years. You have Sting returning. You have Stone Cold returning out of nowhere. Like, these type of pops you're getting, it's hard to say one bigger than the other because they're all outrageous.
I'll give you that, Gary. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Now... I'm only giving you that because I wanna go on my rant of why it was stupid that Roman Reigns lost his title. This is what should have happened. In an alternate universe, in D'Angelo's world, if I was creative, what would have happened is Roman Reigns would have won the title, but during the match got severely injured to where he'd have to relinquish the title that night or come back on Monday night and say he has to relinquish the title because he has very similar to the Rhea Ripley storyline that's going on right now. That would have been the storyline. I would have did it at the next pay-per-view. I would have did like a Royal Rumble or a Fatal 4-Way or something like that where people come out and they – so L.A. Knight, Cody Rhodes, because right now you have nobody to feud Cody with. Because Cody is so over right now. He's so over right now. You can't – who do you put him against?
Well, he's not losing anytime soon. So
that's what I'm saying because there's nobody out there. So you just handcuffed yourself to this guy.
Yeah.
Where you could have had an out with doing it my way, and then whoever would have got it could have lost whenever they wanted to lose, and it would have just been back a regular title hold.
Yeah, it locks him in for at least 6 months.
Yeah.
At least till SummerSlam, maybe longer.
That's why I think it's stupid. That's why I'm not a fan of him dropping the title the way that he dropped the title, because Roman Reigns also could have got the time off. He could have got everything that he wanted and needed. Because of this, it's destroying the bloodline storyline. I'm going to tell you what they're doing, Gary, and it bothers me to my core because NWO is very NWO Wolfpack-like, where they split up and, you know, they was red and black, the other one was black and white. If you look what's going on with Jimmy and Jay, one's blue, one's red, it's fucking Power Rangers. They're like, dude, all I'm saying, Gary, is... CM Punk is the greatest of all time.
I hate you. You just left Undertaker like that? Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I'll be sure to let him know. I'll text Mark Calloway and let him know that he's no longer your favorite.
That's a shame, D. Shame on you, yeah. D. Well, speaking of greatest of all time, and LeBron James. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Let me tell you when he became the greatest. When he became the greatest, when he told The Rock, arms are too short to box with God, I was like, yeah, bro, this man right here is a legend on the mic, and he can wrestle.
Yeah, you could say he's one of the greatest on the mic, yes, but not the greatest of all time. Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, we know who the greatest on the mic is.
Paul Heyman.
Oh, there's nobody ever in history that will be able to touch that man. Ever.
Chris Jericho is really good too, wrestler wise.
Yeah.
But Paul Heyman on the mic, he literally elevates people to levels that nobody, Yeah, Roman Reigns is always good, but Roman Reigns with Heyman, it just elevated him to another level.
Ah, man. Yeah, because you hate Paul Heyman so much, you just want him to lose.
Mm-hmm. Wise man.
Which, and I will say, you talked about Cody Rhodes. Well, you also got to remember, Roman Reigns has a rematch clause, and every champion gets a rematch clause. So, not sure that will be another feud that comes back up where he'll get another title shot, but Roman won't win. That's probably what will set up whatever match Roman has at WrestleMania next year. Well, somebody will cause Roman to be something with the bloodline will happen, blah, 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 blah. Roman will lose, and that's what will lead to Roman Rock at WrestleMania next year. Or yeah. Roman CeeLo Ciolka. One of those two.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting year with the bloodline. I think you're right. You got to be careful. You don't want to turn, because, you know, NWO Wolfpack was cool, but then they started having like LWO.
Well, and the problem when you had 48 members in it is when it really got.
Right.
There's everybody's in NWO. Everybody's in Wolfpack. There's no actual just wrestlers anymore.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, the clip of, you know, Kevin Nash taking a finger poke from Hulk Hogan to lose the title.
Finger poke of death.
Right.
Of doom. Sorry. It was of doom.
Of doom, where all the downfall all started, right?
Well, and the funny thing is, Shawn Michaels and Triple H did the same thing, but theirs was a tie-up, and he pushed him down, and then Triple H ran the ropes for about a minute straight, and then did a fake Ultimate Warrior splash on him, and then covered him for the European title. That was probably making fun of the NWO thing, but because it was DX time.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Well, yeah, we'll see. And, you know, I definitely think there's also something going to be happening, because you already see it happening, the Rock and Cody, you know, and the gave him a gift or gave him something while he was on Raw the other day. And so something's building there. We'll see. I think now that the Rock's kind of back in the picture, they're going to be doing a lot more storytelling.
Well, I think, like I said, I also think it's a false saying that they're not interested in Roman Rock at WrestleMania. I think that's just false news being put out, that they want it to die down, so it's a huge buildup for next year. They don't want it to be known yet.
So hold on, let me get this straight. This just came to my attention while I was thinking about this, and I think it just pissed me off. I don't know if it pissed me off or not. I might be mad. If CM Punk would have never got hurt, he would have been Drew McIntyre. He would have won the title
and then lost it to
Damian Priest.
Yeah. Well, it probably would have done the same thing. It would have been still setting up a feud with Drew McIntyre. I think it just would have reversed the roles. Like Drew McIntyre would have probably been at the announcers, and then it would have been the same exact layout, just flip the story.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I think the whole thing was to get CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre.
So you think Cody Rhodes and his matchup still happened even if CM Punk didn't get hurt?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we have kind of reached towards the end. And before we leave, you know, I got to get y'all's take on a little NBA basketball.
They lose in the first round.
Hold on, don't say they. Do not say they. We ain't talking about any specific team.
Well, whoever plays the Nuggets loses in the first round.
Or GOAT.
Whoever plays the Nuggets loses in the first round.
Well, real quick, before we get to there, can we just bask in the glory that is King James in his 21st season? Oh, my goodness. Your GOAT could never. But, okay, well, I digress. So, who do y'all have winning the championship?
He didn't need 21 seasons to become the GOAT.
Correct. He only needed 12.
We want to thank everybody for joining us.
You got to tell me who's going to win.
Nuggets, again.
We just told you.
I'm talking about the whole championship. You think Nuggets win the whole thing again?
I do.
Yeah,
they're really good. I think it's gonna be Nuggets Celtics in the finals.
You got half of that right. It's going to be Celtics Lakers for an all-time battle.
Man, we out.
We out.
There's no way he truly believes that.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage.